Matt Robeson, Beyond Politics. And today, Donald Trump's Truth Social stock is crashing. So why is it happening? And is he still set to make the billions of dollars that we thought he was going to just a couple short weeks ago? Now, most of us heard when the stock went public about how a band of Donald Trump fans, mostly small retail investors, had fueled a big run-up in the stock value. And that meant a big windfall for Donald Trump, valued in the billions of dollars. And despite the fact that, according to every measure we have available, Truth Social is an extremely unsuccessful business. When I saw on Monday that Truth Social had fallen almost 70%, and in fact was down a staggering 18% in just one day of trading, I really wanted to know, why is it falling so dramatically? Is that going to keep happening? And most important, what's the likely outcome for Trump now? Is he still set to make a lot of ill-gotten gains out of this, or is it something potentially a lot worse for him? So to answer those questions, I brought in one of the best possible people, my old friend, Chris Hill. He was the longtime host of Motley Fool Money, which is still one of the biggest podcasts out there, the number one stock investing radio show in America. And I wanted to start off by asking one critical question. So here it is. Chris Hill, I had to have you on to help explain all of this to me. They go public and the price of Donald Trump's company just soars. $79 a share on March 26th. It was just totally out of relation. It had $3.9 million in revenue and it lost $50 million last year. Is this the most out of whack that you've ever seen, this kind of relationship between how well a company is doing and the price that it's trading at?
I think it certainly makes the short list in terms of the last 25 years of my investing life. I would also, you mentioned meme stocks, and I think it's worth reminding people, you know, what we mean. When we say meme stocks, we're referring to things like what happened to GameStop a few years ago. GameStop, the bricks and mortar video game retailer, that when you looked at the numbers of the business, looked like it was going the way of Blockbuster Video. And a lot of people, fueled by a community on Reddit, the online platform Reddit, just started buying the stock. And there was a pretty entertaining movie, I think it came out last year, called Dumb Money with Paul Dano and Seth Rogen, that I thought did a pretty nice job of sort of capturing what was happening in the Reddit community, with where people were just saying, yeah, it starts with a guy who's basically, I just like the stock. I'm buying it just because I like the stock. And the fundamentals of the business being terrible didn't really mean anything to him. He's, no, I just like the stock. And what happens is, if you get enough people, as he did, to just like the stock, no, I'm buying the stock just so I'm buying the stock, well, then you're going to make a stock go up. And in the movie, you've got people on Wall Street who are betting against GameStop because fundamentally the business is terrible. And they're like, and they're shorting the stock, which means they're betting that it's going to go down. And in the process, they lose tons of money because all these other people are bidding it up. When I hear meme stock, my mind goes immediately to GameStop and what happened there. It happened with AMC movie theaters. It happened with Bed Bath & Beyond.
This is people basically making almost a political decision. It doesn't necessarily have to do with politics, but they're basically saying, I like to play games. I like to watch movies. And so I'm going to spend some money on this stock just as my voice. This is me kind of voting with my feet and my dollars and my stock. I like this thing.
Absolutely.
And that's basically what happened here. This wasn't like Saudi sovereign wealth funds mucking with our finances. This was retail investors. These are fans of Donald Trump, right?
Some of that. There was some institutional money as well. And it's important to understand that when the stock hit the high of, I think you said $79 a share.
Yeah.
We, and by we, I mean everyone in the investing world, we didn't have as much information about the underlying business, because this is a business that went public. Most of the times when companies go public, they go public through an initial public offering, an IPO. There are other ways to go public, and one of them is called a SPAC, which is a special purpose acquisition vehicle, which is essentially a publicly traded entity, which is just a pile of money that it's basically a pile of money that's looking to merge with a private business, and the private business gives that pile of money an underlying business to the shares that are already trading. Let me, if I can, Matt, I just want to give a little bit more context around SPACs.
Yeah, all right. So explain, because this does come up a lot for people who care about, wait, they did this deal and somehow at the end of the day, Donald Trump spun a disastrously bad business, a business, and this has been well chronicled, that is not only financially unsuccessful, but had a horrible rollout, like worse than healthcare.gov. Okay, like one of the worst tech rollouts in the history of tech is a cesspool of disinformation and MAGA crap. It's like, this is doesn't seem like the kind of thing where there's underlying value to invest in, right? And somehow through this magic of a SPAC, he kind of is doing well right now. And so I think that's the question for most people is like, how did this happen? And is he really going to get away with it like a Scooby-Doo villain? So, all right, so explain the SPAC piece to me. What? So you want to create a SPAC and you're basically a pile of money. You're like the Geico ad. You're a walking pile of money with eyes looking to hook up with an actual business.
Yes, but let's take a fictional business. Let's take Matt Robeson Incorporated. Matt Robeson Incorporated wants to go public. The traditional way is through an IPO, an initial public offering.
Right. Well, you see video of this, people standing up on the little balcony, New York Stock Exchange, which, yes, by the way, that actual balcony, tiny. Like, I can't underscore enough how much bigger and grander it looks on TV. It's like the size of my desk. But anyway, go on.
But that's the end point of going public. That's when Matt Robeson, when you, Matt Robeson, leader of Matt Robeson Incorporated, you have gone through the whole IPO process, and this is you get to ring the opening bell. But the IPO process is a lengthy process for companies that are looking to go public. It is an expensive process, and part of the reason they go through it, and part of the reason individual investors like me get excited about the IPO process, is because companies have to file paperwork galore to the SEC, because they've been a private company, they want to be a public company, and so it's time to open up the books. And so when a company goes public through an IPO, they have to open up their books and say, here's what we've been doing. Here's everything. Look this over with a microscope. We've been keeping our business private, but now that it's going to be public, we are required by law to share our revenue streams. We are required by law to share our risk profile, all sorts of things. But again, for you, the company, Matt Robeson Incorporated, it's a lengthy process. It's an expensive process. If you go public by SPAC, it's much faster. It's much less expensive because you don't have to share all of the numbers beforehand. You don't have to say, here's everything we've done. So when the stock hit $79 a share, we didn't know that once they become public, after a certain amount of time, they had to start filing paperwork to the SEC. And so it was after it hit $79 a share that we, the shareholders of America, got to see, oh, last year, this business brought in about $4 million in revenue, but they spent $58 million in revenue, making it a staggeringly unprofitable business. And so the fundamentals of the business, I think, are the first reason we saw this stock starting to fall. Why it hasn't fallen further, I think, has to do with the fact that the largest shareholder is Donald Trump, and he's one of the two major party nominees for president.
And in fact, there was some more information that came in this week, right? Let's take a break. We'll be right back. On Monday, DJT, the Truth Social, it trades as, of course, his initials. My gosh, what a deranged narcissist. So it was down 18% from Friday's close. That's bad. I'm not the stock investing expert that you are, but I'm going to go with that's not great. And the drop came on the news that it had released a 217-page SEC filing, which is designed to officially register the millions of shares that belong to Donald Trump and the other shareholders. And so it does seem, first of all, Trump, we know, is kind of locked in. So it's not like he's going to be trading those shares. Those shareholders, those initial shareholders, are stuck with those. They're not tradable until September, although I guess because he controls the board, I guess in theory that could change. But it's not like he would want to create a sell-off type environment. But it seems to me like that was another brick in the wall of information that would have been available to people if they had done an IPO, but is now only dribbling and drabbling out. So it just seems like the more information comes out, the more the market is reacting and saying, well, this is terrible.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that the larger takeaway for people who are interested in investing in the stock market, which historically is over time the best way to grow your wealth, is to stay away from SPACs. Put aside this one. There are plenty of other publicly traded businesses out there that went public via SPAC. Just last year, I myself, I had a first as an investor, and I've been investing for 30 plus years. Last year was the first time I had a stock go to zero. It went bankrupt. It went completely to zero. And guess what? It was a SPAC. It was the one SPAC I invested in. I put a very small amount of my investment capital to work, and I thought, I like this idea. I like the story. It was an agriculture technology business. And I just thought, okay, and the fact that it was a SPAC, I just thought, you know what? I'm going to overlook it. I like this story too much, which, by the way, happens all the time in investing, where people just sort of get pulled in by the story.
They tell a good story.
And the story beats the numbers.
Isn't that the story of Donald Trump's life? He just tells a good story over and over again. And it's because I was going to ask you, given the advantages that you laid out about SPACs versus IPOs, begs the question of, well, why don't more companies go public via SPACs? You don't have to give away information. It's easy. It's lower cost. Am I right that the answer is embedded in what you just said, that it's a little sus, as the kids say these days, if you're not giving out that information, and companies that not only have a good story to tell, but have the receipts to back it up, there are big advantages to an IPO.
There are. I think that there will always continue to be companies that go public via SPAC, particularly in boom times. I mean, we saw this in late 2020 through late 2021. A lot of companies went public by a SPAC just because, again, it's a faster process and it's less expensive. And it's not to say that those businesses can't pan out. And I'm 0-for-1 on investing in SPACs, but with my own personal risk tolerance, that's enough to sort of swear me off SPACs for life. But this will continue. Look, there's a lot of money floating around Wall Street. And as long as there's a lot of money, then institutional investors, hedge funds, just wealthy billionaires will do what I did. They'll just do it in a bigger way. I took a very small, like way less than 1% of my investment capital and thought, I'm going to buy some shares of this company that went public via SPAC. Well, if I had a net worth that was measured in the billions, I would probably be doing more of that on a larger scale, just because you only need one to pay off. I was talking about math before. But that's the thing. If you bet on 10 long shots and one of the long shots pays off, it kind of doesn't matter that the other 9 didn't.
It sounds like we're getting an answer to what I think are sort of the two burning questions in this story. The first burning question is, why did this happen? Is this like a surprising story, or is this like a dog bites man story, right? And then the second question is, okay, but where's it going, right? Is Donald Trump going to get away with this and have ill-gotten gains? So I want to get to that second question, but just to round out that first question, it sounds like it's not that shocking that you would have something that is a meme stock. That kind of thing can happen. It's not that shocking that you had a SPAC situation, especially when it's associated with Donald Trump. And let's face it, if there's an avenue where he doesn't have to give away true details, if he gets to conceal information, be murky about it, and perhaps misrepresent the underlying truth, he's probably going to take that road. So, I mean, to put a finer point on it, is this whole Truth Social situation all that surprising to you, Chris Hill, from where you sit and your expertise?
It's not surprising when you realize a big catalyst for this was Donald Trump needed money. He really needed hundreds of millions of dollars. Because as you just alluded to, Matt, it's far less fun to run a public company than it is to run a private company. It's a whole lot better to run a private company. There's just starting with the fact that there's a whole part of your business when you're a public company that you have to hire for and manage for that you don't have to when you're a private company. And I'm talking about investor relation, all of the paperwork that deals with the, I've heard any number of public company CEOs talk about how anywhere from 20 to 30% of their time as CEO of a public company is spent on, let's just call it public company stuff, which means if all of a sudden you wave a magic wand and they're a private company, they've got 20 to 30% of their time freed up to focus on other things. But I think the catalyst of Donald Trump really needing to get his hands on a few hundred million dollars, if not more, this was one of my favorite movies is the movie Argo from, I think, 2012, about the Ben Affleck movie about rescuing the six American hostages during the Iran hostage crisis. And they're talking in the CIA about the different options.
I know what you're going to say.
And it's like,
this is the best bad idea we have.
And Ben Affleck's character says, no, there are no good ideas. There are only bad options here. This is the best bad idea we have. And I think if you're Donald Trump and you need a few hundred million dollars, now this taking Truth Social, a business that you and your compatriots know is very unprofitable, taking that public, that's the best bad option.
And this, they set the pieces in place in 2021. This was a long-term scheme that right now is bearing some fruit for them. I mean, was that the play here the whole time, which is, look, we've got a crap business. What's the best way to suck some juice out of the market on it? Was that what was going on here? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
I think it was always on the list of options. Anytime you start a business, if you're really thinking things through, you are thinking through the various potential outcomes. What are the likeliest outcomes, sort of on a scale of this is a business that shoots to the moon to this is a business that goes bankrupt? And somewhere on the list of outcomes for Truth Social when it first got launched was this is the next Twitter, a business that when Elon Musk decided to take it private, he paid $44 billion for. If you're starting Truth Social, you can look at that and say, well, gosh, even if it's just half as successful as Twitter, that's a $20 billion business. So I think that it was probably always on the list of potential outcomes. Yeah, we'll launch this. We'll see what traction we get. And we'll take this public and cash out when we need to.
Well, we do know the little that we can get a handle on when it comes to Donald Trump's finances is that he was, according to Forbes, worth $2.5 billion, not the $8 billion that he kind of makes up based on how he's feeling that morning. Literally, that's what he said in a deposition, that his net worth varies based on his mood. That's actually not financially a thing. I don't need you here to explain that to me. So we know that his net worth was maybe $2.2 billion, but that a lot of it was tied up in real estate investments or was sort of amorphous brand value that is really hard to sell off. So this was even the case before he was facing $450 million in legal judgments. He needed cash back in 2021. He has something like $1 billion of bonds coming due, apparently, and he has a major need for cash. So that all hangs together. That makes sense to me. But I think it also leads inevitably to the second burning question here, right? I mean, it sounds like this doesn't shock you, that the plan, the story here kind of makes sense. But I think what most people who are not of the kind of MAGA persuasion are hoping for is that this is all going to go bad on him. That because this really feels like another scam that he's kind of managing to perpetrate on everyone, where he's got, I have to put an explicit label on this episode anyway, he's got a dog shit company, right? That he's not even selling dog food. He's selling dog shit. And it has way negative value. And as of today, he's still in line to make a lot of money out of this. He's still in line to make billions of dollars out of this deal, double his net worth. This seems like ill-gotten gains. So I think what most people are hoping for is, to use the Japanese expression, that he will have trodden on the tiger's tail on this, and it's going to turn around and consume him. Let's start with this. This is total speculation. People will not hold you to this. I will not have you back on in a year and play this recording back to you and say, what were you thinking, Chris? But do you expect, based on the information we now have about this company, to happen to this stock in the next 6 to 12 months?
I think it's probably going to continue to be where it is right now. It's lost a ton of value. It's down close to 70% from its high. There, I talked before about the IPO process being lengthy and expensive. It pales in comparison to the bankruptcy process. There are so many businesses, reputable, stand-up businesses that have taken years and in some cases decades to go out of business. So the whole idea that this is just going to sort of fold up and go away, I've seen a couple of people online saying, yeah, I think they're just going to go out of business. It takes a lot to go out of business, as it turns out. So I think that barring him, if he gets elected president, let's just put that down as a net positive for the stock. Because I think that there are, as we saw with his hotel business while he was president, there are any number of entities, both foreign and domestic, that are willing to show their willingness to do business with the president of the United States. That would be a whole other conversation about the president of the United States being the majority shareholder of a social media platform, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I'm someone who looked at what happened with GameStop, and as an observer, not involved either way, either owning the shares or shorting the stock. And I just thought, well, that's crazy, because the fundamentals of GameStop's business were terrible. Trump Media and Technology Group has even worse financials, far worse financials than GameStop had. I'm someone who's going to be looking, and I know people who are very smart who have decided to like, I'm gonna get involved in this. I'm gonna buy a couple shares, or I'm gonna short it, or I'm just looking at this from the sidelines, thinking, well, this is going to be interesting to watch what happens with this stock. But I just keep coming back to the fundamentals of the underlying business are so bad. It's hard for me to imagine that this stock gets anywhere close to $79 a share anytime soon or anytime far down the road.
You mentioned earlier that you really open up a can of worms by running a publicly traded company. There's all kinds of information and disclosure, and we know that a vampire, Donald Trump, finds sunlight to be his enemy. Is there a version of this where this turns bad for Donald Trump? Is there a version of this? I mean, I know I'm making the audience drool here, but is there a version of this where he either makes no money, loses money, or gets into some kind of further trouble because he has to have all of these disclosure requirements and his underlying business is such dog shit?
I'm going to push that last one to the side, just because it seems like from a legality standpoint, Donald Trump is already, I think he's involved in 4 court cases at the moment that are at various stages. So let's put that one aside and focus on the money instead.
There's not a limit of one per customer here.
No, that's true. The gears of justice grind slowly. So let's put that one to the side. When it comes to the money, I haven't looked so closely about sort of the financial structure beyond knowing that he's the majority shareholder. As such, he stands to make some amount of money, but I think it's probably going to be somewhere in between. It's probably going to be more than your audience is hoping for, but far less than he himself is hoping for.
Seems reasonable. I'm still wishing that you had said, no, he could lose money. This could go really bad. I mean, in theory, like your SPAC that you invested in could this go to zero?
It could. It could. Some of the, there have been any number of businesses throughout history that have not only thrived, they have been the leader in their category, and they have ultimately gone to zero. So just removing Donald Trump from this, the majority of businesses ultimately go out of business. It's just something that in some cases takes decades to happen. Yeah, this thing could go to zero, but I would be legitimately surprised if it went to zero in 2024.
Let's close out on this entire saga with Truth Social and this wild ride down Wall Street that the stock has had even just so far. Is this revealing a problem with the market, a problem of regulation, a problem of how we deal with stock investing? And if so, how would you fix it?
I think it reveals a problem from the standpoint of the options available for companies to go public, that there's not one single way. I don't know that you can solve it, though. I don't think that, as I said, companies will continue to go public via SPAC for years, if not decades to come. I don't think that's changing. I do think that this is the latest example. We had plenty of, I had my own example in my personal life last year, and we saw plenty of other examples in the previous few years. I think it's something where investors just need to check the box when you're looking to buy shares of a company. Just ask, hey, how did this company go public? Most companies go public through an IPO, but it's worth asking, did this go public through an IPO or through a SPAC? Because it's tougher to go through an IPO. It's more expensive, but you end up with a better batting average, a better shooting percentage, if you want to use, since we're going into the NBA playoffs, a better shooting percentage in terms of companies having sea legs and having the ability to last for years, if not decades, because they've gone through the trials that it takes to go through an IPO as opposed to a SPAC.
So if people want to treat Wall Street like a casino, blow their money on stuff, that's their right. If people think that there's underlying value to something like the town that's full of Coke millionaires, because there was one financial advisor who said, hey, I just think people like the taste, put your money into Coca-Cola. Good move. Town full of Coke millionaires. You can do that. And if you're feeling a little sketched out by something, then it's buyer beware.
It's buyer beware. And a lot of times the best advice when investors say, what should I do with X? What should I do with X? A lot of times the answer is nothing.
All right. Chris Hill, former host of Motley Fool Money. And I'm really curious. I want to hear more. We're going to talk more about your entrepreneurial ventures next time we have you on. But for now, thanks so much for running us through this.
My pleasure, Matt. Thanks.